This time on episode 181 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be talking about the penultimate Luke Cage episode, Soliloquy of Chaos. We're going to be running down the weekly Marvel news and your feedback.
I'm Jeannie.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Nikki from Tyrion's Landing,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network,
just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Wednesday, June 14th, 2017. It's National Bourbon Day, folks! Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist on Netflix, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of Pimp Stormtroopers.
If you'd like to talk to us about Pimp Stormtroopers and other awesome things from the 70s, you can check out our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you want to talk to us about slightly off-colored stormtroopers, you can catch us on our website, legendsofshield.com, which you can also find our voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1, 844-843-2871.
If you want to talk to Haley and me, but not Stargate Pioneer, about Pimp Stormtroopers, you can find us on Facebook at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
If you'd like to talk to all of us on Twitter, yes, including StarPie, you'll have to check out our Twitter account at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And if you want to see us talk about Pimp Stormtroopers, you can check out our video companion on our YouTube channel, which can be found at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Welcome to the penultimate Luke Cage episode of Season 1. It is called Soliloquy of Chaos. And Haley, why don't you run down the director for us?
This episode was directed by Phil Abraham. He has 34 directing credits going back to 2007, where he started with The Sopranos, a little show you might have heard of. He went on to do at least one episode of every great show from the last decade, including Crash, Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy, The Good Wife, God, a lot of stuff. The Walking Dead, Hell on Wheels, Weeds, Boss, Elementary, The Killing, Mad Men, he did a bunch of episodes for. He did 4 episodes of Daredevil. He did this episode of Luke Cage. He's also done 5 episodes of The Long Road Home and 8 episodes of Orange is the New Black.
He's done 3 episodes of Halt and Catch Fire. And let's not forget, this is our 6 degrees of whatever from Kevin Bacon, because he did The Following.
It literally is 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon there. This was also written by a team. First, we have Ocula Cooper, who has 6 writing credits, starting with Tron Uprising, 1 episode back in 2012, which I need to see. I had it on my DVR, and then my DVR basically exploded. But now it's on Hulu or Netflix or something, so I have no excuse. She was also the story editor for 19 episodes of Grimm and wrote 3 episodes, wrote 1 episode of The Witches of East End, executive story editor for 16 episodes of The 100 and wrote 3 episodes, wrote 2 episodes of Luke Cage, including Manifest, which we've discussed before, and 1 episode of American Horror Story last year, Chapter 5, which I also did not see. The other writer for this episode is Charles Murray, who has 17 writing credits, so a little bit more experienced here. All the way back with City of Angels, the TV series, not the movie, in 2000. Third Watch, Killer Instinct, Daybreak, 1 episode of Criminal Minds, 1 episode of Castle, 1 episode of the remake of V, 4 episodes of Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Actually, he wrote an arc that I really liked. back in 2013. 4 episodes of Sons of Anarchy, 2 episodes of Star Wars Rebels, 1 episode of The Bastard Executioner, 1 episode of the remake of Roots, and 2 episodes of Luke Cage, his previous being Step in the Arena.
They were also producers for Luke Cage. Now, Akalai also did Witches of East End, The Hundred, and American Horror Stories. Charles did Sons of Anarchy, V, Castle, Criminal Minds, Daybreak, and Killer Instinct. So these are very experienced story crafters from the production standpoint, and they teamed up to write this penultimate episode of Luke Cage and had a very experienced director. So no wonder this was an amazing episode. This was an amazing episode. I loved this episode. Haley, did you not love this episode?
It's a really good episode. And I feel like the whole point of this episode is to set up the fight that starts at the very end of this episode. And that's what the next episode is the big epic fight scene.
That's true. But there's stuff that happens along the way, isn't there, Lauren?
There really is. In fact, this episode has several of my favorite smaller moments in the series, one of which is Luke Cage meeting up with Method Man. Just, I'm a big fan, so that just made my day, and them sort of recognizing each other and both being like, oh my God, I'm such a huge fan of yours. No, I'm such a huge fan of yours. And then helping each other out. The hoodie with the bullet holes becoming this huge symbol in Harlem. And then when Method Man goes on Sway's show and is telling about what happened and then doing Bulletproof Love and everything, that was just such this huge, powerful moment. And it was just amazing to me. This, I feel like, is if you were to boil the show down to a thesis, I feel like that moment would be what it is.
My geek out moment of the episode came when I identified the microphones in Sway's universe's studio. By the way, they're Electro Voice RE20s or 27s, one of the two. It's hard to tell the difference between the two, but they were in there. And that is just the big brother of the microphone I'm using right now, which is the Electro Voice RE320. But it was an amazing, I love that radio. I think they're on Sirius XM radio, right?
I believe so. I think that's where Sway's show is. Sway, by the way, used to be a VJ on MTV, and I used to watch his show. And I'm really pleased that he stayed popular. Like, he was always a pretty cool guy. And again, him showing up on Luke Cage adds this whole real world dimension to it.
It's definitely real world. It's the street. It's Harlem, baby, right? That's actually a line from the show. It's Harlem, baby. Yeah.
Yep.
And this is the real, they're trying to translate what's happened everywhere out there to what's going on in real world, inner city America, but it's still real world America. And I like it. I think it brings it down to the common person. Although the song, I think it was called Bulletproof Love, right?
Yes, it was.
There's a reference to Iron Man in there, which I totally love. I caught that. I was like, oh, I understood what the lyrics are. That's pretty cool.
Method Man's a huge geek. I'm pretty sure it was Method Man that had like a tiny little cameo in Iron Man as like the music that's playing when the stripper poles come up.
Oh, in the plane, in the Stark Industries plane.
When he's trying to get Rhodey to drink with him.
The first Rhodey?
Yeah, the Terrence Howard Rhodey. But, like, he's a huge geek. So no wonder he wanted to be on this show, and no wonder he wrote, like, a whole thing for Luke Cage. And especially when you consider, like he said, it's such a powerful thing to see a bulletproof black man helping out the community when he doesn't have to. Especially now with the current political climate, the current social climate, it's really more relevant than ever.
It is indeed. You haven't been with us the last couple of episodes as we've discussed Luke Cage, but Haley's brought that up several times about the social injustice and what is really going on the streets of Harlem within Luke Cage as a reflection of what is being happening in general America as well. So this show is taking that and running with it and running with it hard. I think they're doing well with it.
I feel like the point of any good science fiction, fantasy, whatever, is to take a look at the real world and look at it slightly sideways and shine a light on it that way. And in that way, this show is doing a fantastic job of taking, you know, our real world that we are familiar with and just making it that much more hyper realistic.
Yeah. More people rooting for Luke Cage than he thinks, which I think was borne out in a couple minutes later in the episode with the holy hoodies.
holy hoodies. It's funny because they are sort of becoming relics of a sort. So it's a double meaning there.
I have to ask, do you feel like Misty made some bad calls in this episode?
Going off on her own? Yeah, that's a bad call.
Well, I mean, like, telling Luke he should run before he gets to the precinct.
That's kind of setting him up.
Yeah, like, it doesn't seem like it really worked out well for him. And meeting the potential witness out in public instead of, like, letting her stay in hiding.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that she did. If it wasn't quite her catching the stupid ball and running with it, it was certainly her kind of poking it along the way.
And she is just hours at this point, hours removed from having her artery cut and then re-sewn back together.
Yeah, that bugged me. I was really hoping, actually, when I first saw the show, that she would lose her arm so that we would get awesome bionic arm Misty Knight from the comics. And that didn't happen.
There's still time.
But what we do get is apparently just completely blowing that off. And people do point out, you were just shot, and shouldn't you be in the hospital? But really, she should be in the hospital. That's not a light injury. That's really bad.
At least on bed rest.
Mm-hmm. After losing that much blood?
Yeah, it was like flowing out of her arm, if you'll recall, from what was in her life 2 hours ago.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Just hours later, and then all of a sudden she's taking the sling off her arm so she can use her trigger finger. She wouldn't be able to hold a gun up. Her arm would just be completely wrecked.
Yeah, that really bugged me. Even at the beginning of the episode when she's standing up instead of being in the ambulance, that's... No! I just... No!
You don't know what kind of superpowers that she really has, though. I mean, she's got the good foresight going, but you don't know if she's got, I don't know, some enhancements, some mutant enhancements. Maybe she's an inhuman. You never know.
Maybe.
Maybe she got a blood transfer from Wolverine by accident in the...
By accident.
In the ambulance.
Sure, because they have a lot of Wolverine blood just sitting around.
I don't know. Maybe they didn't screen properly.
He needed the down payment on the limo, so he sold some blood.
Yep. I mean, it works for college students.
Yep.
Yep. And apparently, on National Bourbon Day, it's easier to get drunk with less blood in your blood, too.
That's right.
By the way, I cannot in good conscience recommend drinking after you have given blood.
They give you most of your blood back after you do that.
Well, it takes a while for it to come back.
No, I'm talking about when you sell plasma.
When you sell plasma, I think you're okay after a little bit. But when you actually donate blood, that's when they're taking like a pint out of you. No, you got to wait like a day or two.
It's just a more cost-effective way to drink.
As well. And you know, you help save lives doing it as well.
If you are able to, please donate blood. That has been our good deed for the day.
Yeah. And don't drink right after doing it. I'll be responsible and say that.
And don't drink right before doing it, because while it will make you bleed faster, it's not a good thing to do right before you donate blood.
You know who's not responsible in this episode? I don't think Mariah is being very responsible. I mean, she's embracing her inner gangsta.
Oh, Mariah, you make all of the bad decisions.
When you're cornered by Diamondback, you don't say no, because you know he's going to kill you. So you just try to get out of the situation and get him out of your house. So, I don't necessarily think that's a bad idea. But she did talk about murder on an open line.
Yeah, that's another thing you should not do.
Well, how many times have you murdered somebody, Lauren?
None that you can prove, because I've never spoken about it on an open line.
But it's okay to talk about it on a podcast.
It is not okay to talk about it over a podcast. Do not do it anywhere that... You know what? I'm going to stop giving murder advice, okay? I'm going to stop doing anything that can be tied back to me at a later date. Just don't kill people, okay? Don't kill people.
Good advice, indeed.
It's sound advice.
This is the first time I noticed, because, you know, it's National Bourbon Day, but Mariah is actually a vodka drinker.
Well, it has less calories.
I did not know that.
Yes, actually. When I was in Weight Watchers, they were going over the new plan, and they were talking about how, you know, the points for wine and all this stuff has been increased, and everyone was greatly disappointed. And then this one little old lady, they were talking about, you know, alternate drinks. And this little old lady was like, vodka in flavored soda water. And everyone just kind of looks at her. And she's just there like, I know what I'm talking about.
Been drinking for a lot of years, kids.
So, yes.
Well, if I ever get the opportunity to pick up drinking again, I will explore the finer points of vodka.
Are you going to sniff the onion?
See, I've experienced doing that. It didn't end up well the first time, so onions and me don't get along all that well anymore.
You don't eat the onion, you sniff the onion.
I know. It's the smell, you know, the sense after you've been through a terrible hangover, you know, the senses are like, no, I'm never going to do that again, sort of thing.
Okay, I get it.
There you go.
To this day, I do not drink coconut rum.
To this day, I don't drink Fireball.
Oh, I drink a lot of Fireball.
So did I, once.
I know finer points of whiskey than Fireball. I don't drink at all anymore, of course, because, you know, I can't. But.
Yeah.
But somebody that should be drinking is Shades, because he's got one heck of an episode. He almost gets killed half dozen of times, we'll just say it. I mean, there's the one big thing in the elevator, but at any point in time, he's at risk of getting killed.
Yeah, we see him getting arrested and then that confrontation with Zip in the elevator, and it's just a bad day all around for him. But on the upside, kudos to Theo Rossi for really shining in this episode. I really liked his performance in this episode.
He gets his shades back. He survives the elevator. He makes a deal with Mariah and Luke Cage along the way, or at least that's what it seems as it was happening. I mean, that's some maneuvering that he's got going for him, especially against Diamondback. He's taking Diamondback head on. He's not like getting out of town. He's taking it on.
Yeah. With regards to the whole Shades and Mariah trying to make a deal with Luke Cage, first of all, like the sheer guts of going to Pop's place and saying parlay. I mean, everybody's blood's kind of boiling at that point, especially, you know, after what happened to Pop. And then I just really loved Bobby in the background, just kind of snarking all over the place. He's really become one of my favorite characters as the show goes on.
Mm. Bobby?
Yeah. He's acting as Luke's conscience. He's just kind of, I feel like he's the male answer to Claire Temple in a lot of ways on the show. Like the common sense, like, this is a stupid idea. What are you doing? Very calm. Very rational person.
He does know when to back off, though, because when everybody around him has guns or superpowers and he's trying to tell them to take it outside and they say no, he's okay, just trying here.
Exactly. The whole chess thing is perfect with him. When he's talking and he's like, yeah, the whole point of chess is to try to outthink your opponent. So that's the purpose of playing yourself, is to try and best yourself. And you see this with him. He's this very rational person. Who his rationality and ability to think ahead has been helping Luke. And when he sees, okay, these people have guns, I can do nothing, he's like, okay, checkmate, runs off.
Pretty much fast.
And also, I loved the whole, I just had this place fixed.
I know. At first, it's the hinges, and then, you know, grenade goes off, it's the whole windows. Come on! And then he had the money to fix it the first time. He doesn't have the money to fix it now, at least right now. I don't know what's going to happen, but yeah, money. And it takes money to fix a big window. You know how expensive big windows are?
Yes.
Yeah, they're very, very expensive. I mean, I've got a big bay window in my house, and one of the neighbors had to have theirs replaced. And they were telling me the thousands of dollars that they would have had to pay if it wasn't covered by insurance. I'm like, well, it's covered by insurance, but you're going to pay for it in your insurance premiums eventually, too. So, you know.
Even beyond that, aren't you afraid of, like, looking out the window one day and seeing just, like, somebody staring out there holding a knife in your hand and then lightning flashes and they're gone?
I thought we weren't going to talk about murder anymore.
You're right. I'm sorry. Let's move on.
So, Domingo does the ultimate stupid thing and decides to try to attack the stash of Diamondback head on. And that doesn't end well.
No, it doesn't. In fact, it ends with an explosion. So I guess you could say it ended explosively.
I would think that a crate of C4, because that's what it was. It was a crate of C4. I would think the crate of C4 would have leveled the building, not just blown the windows out.
Well, I guess the special effects team only has so much budget.
Mm. They've already taken down a building with a shoulder-fired rocket, so that they can't take down another building with a chest of explosives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because plot?
Because plot.
Because plot. Haley, what was your favorite part of the episode?
Probably when Diamondback showed up in his 70s comic book getup.
Straight out of the X-Men. It was definitely his super suit.
Where's my super suit?
So was the glove part of the super suit, that the glove that he used before? Or was the glove a separate tech that he was using?
I think the gloves are tech on their own, and then he got this awesome super suit to go with his gloves.
Oh, so he's matching accessories. Oh, I see.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He built the outfit around his accessory.
Yeah, exactly. So something I noticed, at first, I almost didn't notice, but this time I noticed. Stan Lee's cameo. Did you see it?
No, I did not.
So right before the scene with Method Man in the convenience store, there's an, like, if you see something, say something sign, and it has Stan Lee on it.
Oh.
Just Stan Lee's big smiling face right there. So that was his cameo.
I did love the Luke Cage going into the convenience store and just, he's like, really? You guys are really good. And they shoot him and it doesn't do anything. He's like, okay. And the guy's like scared. And Luke says, give me your phone. And he hands him the gun. He's like, no, idiot, your phone. And he just taps him on the forehead and he falls down because it's so strong.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, Luke. That was a funny scene. Funny indeed. What was also a funny scene is when he was interrogating Turk.
Turk just can't win.
He can't. I mean, baby diapers, Haley.
There's diapers in here.
You can't just leave me. Oh, all fun.
Oh, Turk.
He gets what's coming to him, if you ask me. I mean, he's the reason why a lot of stuff has happened. And
yeah, he's the one who told everyone, well, he told where that Luke was at Pops's place.
Yep, which led to Pops being killed, yeah. Lauren, do you have anything?
Going back to the lyrics of the song that the title is from, Soliloquy of Chaos, once again, very thematic to the episode. Because we're misled and misfed facts, we're way off, killing you and killing me, it's the soliloquy of chaos.
Mm.
Like, this whole thing, it's a war of misinformation that we're seeing, especially with regards to Mariah and her vendetta against Luke. And Diamondback and his vendetta against Luke.
It's all about the false news. False facts. I know, and this came out way before that was actually a big thing. I guess Luke Cage is a little bit of prognostication. There you go. Haley?
There was the bit about Zip saying, yo, he's his own man, when he's totally copying Shade's entire shtick for the whole episode.
Mm-hmm.
Even down to the shades.
Yeah, wearing his shades. Not even just stealing his look, his actual shades.
I thought his shades were ground, that Claire ground the shades, wrecked them. I think yours are new shades.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
But they were lookalikes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he steals his entire thing and is like, oh, I'm an individual.
Not really. And, you know, if you got two guys in an elevator, you might want to use them next time. Although there's not going to be a next time for any of them. So I got to hand it to Shades. I didn't think he was going to make it out of that elevator. That was a slick move that he pulled off. So dude deserves to survive after that. Absolutely. I don't think he deserves much after that. Surviving, maybe.
Shades is one of those characters I kind of can't help but like. Because he's a bad guy, but he's very good at what he does.
Yes, indeed. Haley, do you have any quotes?
Yes, lots and lots.
Let's do it.
Young cops always want to chase somebody. I'd rather be where they're already going.
Oh, that reminds me. During that whole montage with everybody wearing the hoodies, there's that one part where there's these two guys who are kind of mocking that cop car driving by. The cop inside is the one who let Luke go. So it's just this kind of really meta moment that where we, the audience, know they're all on the same side.
Mm-hmm. I didn't notice that. That was pretty cool. Probably a casting thing as well. You know, you're already in the costume, might as well use it again. But
well, I think it's definitely, it's a statement. It's because you don't want to cast all the police as bad guys. He is supposed to be a good cop. But because he's wearing that uniform, everybody that he's driving by sees him as one of the bad guys. But really, he's on their side. It's one of those, again, the misinformation things.
Rules differ across the nation, but for the most part, most cities actually enacted laws that you actually had to live with. If you were a city employee, which included the police, you had to live within the city limits. So in general, police officers are part of the community. They live there. They work there. They're working for the community. So it's not always such an antagonistic relationship that you might think.
Really depends on the place.
It does. Absolutely, we'll agree to that. All right, Haley, what else you got?
Accused of killing a cop, and you ask him why he's running.
And you have special bullets.
Yep. I didn't mean it, the kid said when he shot him.
Yeah, like that helps.
He goes by lawyer. You need me to spell it?
Again, I can't help but like shades.
First name law.
Last name your. Mariah scares me more than Cottonmouth.
Oh, that poor girl.
She's messed up in something right now.
Yep. Bulletproof always going to come second to being black.
Yeah, except for he's not entirely bulletproof. You got the Judas bullets that could take him down. So he's, I mean, yeah, he's a tank, but he's a tank that...
He's quite a bit bulletproof.
He's bulletproof to normal bullets.
Yep. I'd rob the occasional bank and never look back. That's it.
This has been an exciting series. Cannot wait for the finale next week. You know my stez. It's the 13th episode of Luke Cage. And we will be doing that next Wednesday, I believe, at our normal time. That will be our last Wednesday broadcast. After that, we will be moving to Thursday night for the second broadcast during the week. But our main broadcast will... We started that this week with Legion Chapter 1. We will continue that this Sunday with Legion Chapter 2. So stay tuned as these podcasts get recorded and get thrown out, published, if you will. We got some news. Are you ladies ready for some news?
Yep.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right, first up, we've got some Spider-Man news.
Yay!
Apparently, Sebastian Stan and Scarlett Johansson are training for Infinity War.
Interesting.
The trainer posted on Instagram and has some videos. Well, he has a video of Sebastian Stan working out, and honestly, to me, that looks absolutely miserable, but there's a reason I don't go to the gym. And then there's just a picture of everybody standing there looking buff.
I'm so jealous. I was just in the gym today. I've been working out a long time. My body does not look like theirs.
Well, you also don't have like a personal trainer to yell at you and ensure that you eat all of this stuff and regiment like every hour of your day.
It's true. That would help having a nutritionist and a physician and a trainer. Couple of trainers, dedicated workout facilities. Yeah, that would help.
Really, if I could have somebody take care of the food for me, I think I could handle the rest.
That is a cheaper option, actually.
I can't do gyms. I just can't. I hate gyms so much. It's like I walk in the evenings. That's about it.
Yeah, I had another gym story today, but I'm not going to tell it because I don't want to gross anybody out. I mean, we were talking about death earlier, so no need to talk about the gym.
Did somebody work out so hard they threw up?
It's been known to happen.
Yeah, I know. It almost happened to me once.
Well, Sebastian Stan and Scarlett Johansson aren't the only ones hitting the gym. Josh Brolin is also in the gym right now, getting ready for Deadpool 2.
He is a gym.
So I completely forgot that he was cast as Cable. Like this past weekend, I was sitting there and I was thinking, I know they cast someone as Cable. Who did they cast? And I had to look it up on IMDb and I was like, oh, right. Like, all I could remember was that they didn't cast Michael Shannon because we were watching Batman versus Superman and joking about General Zod.
One of the very few people that get multiple roles within the Marvel Universe, separate studios, but within the Marvel Universe. So I'm excited to see Josh's characterization of both characters he's playing.
Yeah, apparently he is going to be buff as hell as Cable.
Yep. So some more Deadpool 2 news. Shioli Kutsuna, I can't talk today, has been cast
as a major role or a key role, but they won't say who.
Maybe the daughter?
Of who?
Deadpool and...
Vanessa.
Vanessa?
I don't think they've been together long enough to have a daughter that old.
It's comics. You never know what kind of radiation is doing things. It happens.
I don't know. Maybe they'll cast her as Psylocke or something.
That would be fun. Because they do. They have,
except they already cast Olivia Munn as Psylocke.
Well, yeah, but that was in a different movie.
Yeah, but it's the same studio. I think they want to try to keep, I don't know. I was assuming they wanted to keep two similar actors. I mean, they called out the Professor X actors in the last Deadpool. Are we talking the Patrick Stewart era? Or are we talking, you never know.
I don't know. Who knows?
I have a feeling that Deadpool 2 will be as fun as the original. So can't wait to see it. When does it come out? Does anybody know?
I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
I'm sure we know, but I don't remember.
This year, is there three or four movies that came out from Marvel? Because is Spider-Man the third or the fourth? Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor Ragnarok.
There was Logan.
Oh, is it March 2nd maybe? Fox had a Marvel movie scheduled for March 2nd, 2018.
That might be it.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. It was Valentine's Day last time around, so... Maybe this was not a love story.
Yeah, who knows?
Okay. Well, that's all the news we have for this week. It was a short weekend. Not a lot of news passing by for Marvel as they let DC have their Wonder Woman glow. And so we are going to move on to the feedback.
Friend of the show, Richard, at Kodiak GWC, sent us a retweet from at Jessica Jones that it's National Bourbon Day, and then replied, I've got the bourbon, who got the glasses? And then there's a very long, entertaining thread, so we are also here celebrating National Bourbon Day. So happy National Bourbon Day to you.
Happy National Yay. Bourbon Day. Mm-hmm. I don't have any glasses. I guess I could drink out of the bottle, but then I'd have to go to the emergency room. So I'm not going to do that.
I am drinking 1792 bourbon.
I was not given enough notice. I don't have any bourbon in my apartment. I'm sorry.
How do you not have bourbon in your apartment?
Because I drink cheaper stuff.
Need to drink. We need to work on that.
If you're going to drink good stuff. I mean.
Or I could drink a lot of cheap stuff.
Or you could drink a lot of good stuff.
I can't afford to drink a lot of good stuff.
Well, you're an engineer. You're making the bucks now.
I'm making the medium-sized bucks.
Medium, okay.
You can buy some medium-sized good stuff. Like $17.92 is pretty good medium-priced drink.
Usually the lowest I'll go is Woodford Reserve. And we could talk about bourbon all day, but we're not going to. And just want to say thank you, because without that tweet at Kodiak GWC, me nor all my friends would not have known today was National Bourbon Day. So thank you very much for letting us know today is National Bourbon Day. And of course, Jessica Jones obviously is the bourbon drinker in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, speaking of the cheap stuff, we saw her guzzling down bottles of the cheap stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when you guzzle bottles of the cheap stuff, you end up with super strength.
See? It's a plan, guys. It's going to work out really well for me.
Has it worked?
I haven't drank enough yet.
Okay. We'll keep everybody on pins and needles there. All right. That's it for the feedback for this episode. We're going to walk this one out. Thank you for sticking with us this summer as we do 2 weeks trying to get through all the extended Marvel Universe content before we hit the Inhumans series this fall. And I think there's still going to be a little overlap, but we're going to get through it so that we're all caught up at the end of Defender. So thank you very much for that. And thank you for downloading the podcast. It's awesome that you're still listening to us after all these years. And we appreciate your patronage.
Thank you for everyone who sends us comments on Twitter, who, you know, checks up on us on Facebook, who comments on YouTube. Just, we love hearing from you. We'd love it if you called us. We love hearing your voices, whether it's to tell us that it's National Bourbon Day, to send us some news, or just, you know, because you had a thought and you wanted to share it with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for everyone that stuck with us on our very, very long journey through the 13 episodes of Luke Cage. We're almost to the end. We can see the end in sight. And thank you for sticking with us as we went on that walk.
Walk with us. It's going to be a journey. That's it for this week. It's been a great podcast, ladies. Until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
See you guys on Sunday. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Hey, Haley.
Hey.
Yep.
Happy National Bourbon Day.
Yay. Oh, it's National Bourbon Day?
It is.
Hold
indeed.
On. Let me.
I wish I'd known. I would have planned.
Hold on. Hold on. I got to go get mine.
Hey, Scott, it's National Bourbon Day.
Oh, gosh. She's so excited.
Because she's a bourbon drinker anyways.
Okay.
What are you drinking tonight, Lauren?
1792 small batch. The splash of water.
Well, we got another new podcast on the network.
Yay.
Can I give you a little hint?
Sure.
More are coming.
We went to the Franklin Tavern in New York.
Yeah.
Which is where, George Washington used to have his cabinet meetings and stuff. And we all got, you know, whiskey and stuff. And my friend Mary got Jefferson's Reserve just because she's not a whiskey or bourbon person or anything. So she was like, I'll just go with whatever they recommend. So she got that. Scott got the Whistle Pig. I got, what did I get? Angel's Envy.
You guys having a good week?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Saw Wonder Woman again. Wait, no. You were there for when I said I was going to go see it again.
Oh, but did you see it again?
Yes, I did. And I cried again because it's a good movie.
Well, this is the start of week two, by the way, of not having a dishwasher, which is killing me. It's just, oh my gosh. Because every day there's just something, like we ran out of plastic forks, so we have to use real forks. And forks are like the worst to wash. It's just because you got to get in between the tines and stuff like that. So there's that. And there's the fact that I make coffee in my Keurig VUE. Yeah, I think I'm the only one left in America with a Keurig VUE, but I have one here and I make my coffee in there and I have a cup that I have to wash when I get home. So there's like another thing that I have to do and just odds and ends throughout the day. And it's like, oh, just I want a dishwasher, paid for a dishwasher. It's going to take 16 days to order and then another 3 to 5 days. So basically, it's going to be a whole month by the time I get a dishwasher. It's killing me, and it's only been 2 weeks. It's killing me.
Ugh, washing your own dishes like a caveman.
You know, that reminds me of, and I don't think you've seen it, but there's an original series Star Trek episode where they're on this desert planet without water, and what they do to wash the pots and pans is they string them out in the sandstorm outside so they get sandblasted. I think that would be a much easier way to do the dishes. Cycling a soliloquy of chaos. Soliloquy? Oh, help me out, please.
Soliloquy.
Soliloquy. Soliloquy.
Soliloquy. Yes.
You just make the sounds in the order that the letters appear.
Soliloquy. Well, you know, I've got to say it right off the bat. So I'm going to talk about Luke Cage. Soliloquy of chaos. And now I'm going to screw it up. Soliloquy. Okay. This is why you need a voice coach. Soliloquy. That we just butchered this guy's podcast name over on Better Podcasting too. Aurelia Pod. I have no idea how many times I said it wrong or how I said it wrong, but I was saying it completely wrong for a long time. Called in with a voicemail. Hey guys, it's Damien from Aurelia Pod. I was like, oh, that's how you say it. Aurelia Pod. Say it with me, Stephen. Aurelia, because he was saying it wrong too. So it wasn't just me.
It's a team effort.
Soliloquy. Yeah. Soliloquy. This is the penultimate, right? And next time is the finale?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, almost a year late, right?
We got to it eventually.
I started watching Dark Matter. You know, the first, it was a 2-hour season premiere on Friday, yeah. Came out. So I was on the treadmill last night just watching it. I was like, oh, yay, I get my summer sci-fi. So was this weekend the Doctor Who finale?
No, there's like 5 episodes left, I think.
I haven't watched this week's Doctor Who.
It was Mark Gatiss's last episode this week.
Really?
Because he's probably, Stephen Moffat's leaving at the end of the season. And I think I remember that Mark Gatiss is not set to come back and work for Chris Chibnall.
That's right. We're having some issues. Okay. Really, that is all that is being recorded on my DVRs is Deadliest Catch, which that's just a popcorn show to have on in the background. And Dark Matter, Killjoy's premiere is near the end of the month, so.
Orphan Black just came back.
Oh, it did.
I need to watch it. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
This is the final season, right?
Yes.
I actually get a chance to watch it after it's completed, unfortunately. Here, it's an amazing show.
It is.
Yes.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.